He's tough. He's uncompromising. Plowing in with Terry Wallace.
For the new Mexican chicken sub from Subway.
Oh, it is the thing about football, and Terry loves it more than most. Great to have him with us on a Thursday afternoon. Hello, player.
Hello, half. How are you going? Gee, it's almost like spring weather.
It's beautiful.
It's lovely out there.
It's actually disappointing to have to look at it. Can't get out in it.
Training tonight?
Training tonight, Thursday night.
Yeah,
training
well, at least it'll be a nice
good
evening for
training.
Yeah, perfect.
Wouldn't be whinging. It's too cold tonight.
I wouldn't think so.
You want to be suiting up tonight if you want to get a game. I'll tell you that much, Terry.
No doubt whatsoever, and it's a big week, isn't it?
It is a big week.
Look, I think certainly from Mick Malthouse's point of view, having a look at the papers today, there's been a lot of respect paid, and I think it's very fitting. I mean, it's a record that we probably will never see broken.
Yes, that's right. It's interesting you say that. There's been a lot of respect paid. I reckon they've really honed in this last 24 hours or so. Before that, it was still the speculation and how things going there at Carlton. Is he going to coach on? One of those rumours early in the week, post record. The last 24 hours or so has really honed in on the real positive side of the story.
That's good. And that's the way it ought to be. I'm pleased that they won last week, so we give it a little bit of free air time, I suppose. And,
yep.
You know, we weren't looking at the game for the wrong reasons. We were looking at the game for all the right reasons.
We were. And you've had a special relationship. You in fact, we worked out, have the trifecta, which I don't think...
It's an unusual one, this one.
I don't think many people have come across.
No, well, I actually played on Mick.
So you've played on him?
Yes.
What year was...
I think it was nearly his last year, either 82 or 83. I mean, Mick mostly played in the back pocket.
Yep.
But I played on him at the MCG one day when he come visiting into the middle of the ground.
He come visiting?
Yeah.
Was he sent to stop you, was he?
Well, I'm not actually sure.
Were you ploughing in beautifully that day?
Well, it was probably at the peak of my career and at the end of Mick's career when we actually met up against each other, which normally happens, you know, when there's a couple of years age difference between the two, you know, you're going to get that. We're sort of, yeah, so it was probably almost at the peak of my powers. He'd mostly played back pocket.
Yep.
I think they might have had an injury or two, the Tigers, at the time. So Rioli might have been out. So they were looking for somebody to come into the middle and do a job. So we crossed paths.
What do you recall of that encounter? I'm intrigued by this.
What I thought of Mick as a player was he was a bloke that you could rely on, that you would never get an easy kick on.
Right, so he punched you up.
Yeah, basically. Look, as I sort of said, it was probably suited to me. I wouldn't have liked to be going and playing in his domain. So me going down and playing in a forward pocket and trying to get a kick on a bloke that's played virtually his whole career as a back pocket.
Yep.
For him to come up into my domain, it made it a little bit more comfortable, clearly, for me. But that was about the only thing that was comfortable on the day because he was a hard-nosed competitor. And, you know, I mean, he's a premiership player and you don't get there for no reason. And, he was a very, very hard-nosed competitor. So, yeah, we had a brief visit on the field and playing on each other.
Right, so that's one of the boxes ticks. You've played on Mick. And then, of course, he was coaching the Bulldogs and you were there. So you played under Mick.
Yeah, well, I actually sent him a letter this week.
Yep.
Via my wife through his wife, so just passed it on. So I haven't caught up with Mick, but sent him a personalised letter just thanking him because you sort of do have an opportunity in these times to get a bit nostalgic and look back on careers, and it's all to do with Mick's career, but you start to think about your journey and where you were. I finished with Hawthorn in 1986, left the club. I was blueing with Yabby Jeans at the time. We just didn't have a good relationship, the two of us. I knew he was going nowhere after winning his second premiership as a coach.
To get out of that, then just move on yourself.
So it was time for me to go. I went to Richmond in 1987. So I left as vice captain of the premiership side in 86, which is unusual to say the least. But left and went to Richmond in 87. Now Richmond at the time had Alan Bond there as their president for a fleeting moment, and it was only a fleeting moment. I signed a contract with Richmond, the three-year contract with Richmond, of which I spent 1 year only at the Tigers in 87, and it was a disaster. Number one, through my contractual arrangements with Hawthorn, I couldn't get to Richmond until round four of that following year.
Really?
Yeah, which is sort of unusual. It's a story for another day. But so I missed the early part of the season. I wasn't allowed to train with anyone over the pre-season. So we all know about, you know, you do a decent pre-season and you usually have a good year, but I didn't have the pre-season.
Yep.
I broke down after about nine games with the Tigers, so mid-year, and didn't play for the rest of the year. Alan Bond left, and they were stuck with a contract that they couldn't afford, and they thought they had a broken-down footballer as well, which didn't help things.
Never helps.
So we shook hands and basically went our own directions, and I didn't have a club to play with, so they couldn't afford the contract. I was getting, you know, mucked around there, not training with the senior group. I mean, this 12 months after being vice captain of a premiership side, not training with the senior group, training with the kids on the side.
Or the Brumbies.
Well, because they were trying to, you know, they were trying to get out of the contract. I mean, clearly the reason. So I ended up going in and speaking to them, sort of saying, look, this is no good for either of us. I might as well move on. And that's they couldn't get out of it. They couldn't get out of there quick enough. So, so I didn't have a club, and I went over to the Bicentennial Carnival was on that year.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And there was a Division A and a Division B, and you were allowed to play where you started your career. And I had started in the VFA, so I played. It was like State of Origin almost. So you went back to play there. So we had guys like Barry Round, who started in the VFA, were able to play. Alan Izzard, all these guys were sort of running around playing in the Bicentennial Carnival. So I went over to the Bicentennial Carnival, had a really good carnival, won the medal for the second division in the Bicentennial Carnival and got all Australian. But I got all Australian off the back of not having a club.
It's an unusual circumstance, Terry.
Very unusual.
This is a very unusual story, to be honest.
So I'm sitting there 2 weeks out from the season, 1988 season starting, and
you haven't got a club.
I haven't got a club, and it looks like it's over. So I announced my retirement.
I didn't know this.
It's 7 days to go, and I don't have a club. So what else have you got to do but announce your retirement? So I announced my retirement, and basically, on the weekend before, so 1 week before the 88 season was set to start, I got a phone call from Dennis Scalamberti and Mick Malthouse asking me, did I want to continue the career soon? I'd retired. Sounds like John Farnham, doesn't it?
But, John
Farnham. But I legitimately had retired because I didn't have a club. And they rang with a week to go, and they'd got injuries to Stephen Wallace and Michael McLean.
Yep.
So two of their midfielders had got injured in, I think, their last practice game. And so there were a couple of midfielders short. So they sort of said, yeah, do you want to continue your career? And so obviously the answer was...
You said, well, yeah, really? Actually,
an emphatic yes. And so that's how I ended up at the Bulldogs.
Wow.
And so Mick, I sat there in this letter this week, was about the fact that if the retirement had stood as it was back there in early 1988, that was me done in the industry. And here I am 27 years later talking to you, having had an opportunity to coach two clubs, having an opportunity to play for another 5 years. I suppose that's the first part of it.
Yeah.
And then go on to coach and then to go on to, you know, still be able to be involved in the game in the media. So that's 27 years off the back of one decision.
One phone call.
Off the back of one decision. And it was a Michael Malthouse-driven decision. So I just wanted to leave him a message to thank him because he allowed me to stay in the industry that I love.
So after that happened, after he made that phone call and you ended up at the Western Bulldogs, what was the relationship like, considering the fact that he had given you the lifeline? Did he make you earn it, even though you were a fairly established star of the competition?
Mick makes everyone earn everything, which is the way it should be. But look, they were down on numbers. So I walked in basically on a Thursday night before round one, trained, and he sort of said, look, I'm going to pick you. Because off the back of the fact that I'd obviously done a full pre-season, played in the carnival and had shown reasonable form in the carnival and they were down on numbers, he sort of said, look, I'm going to back you in and play you. We played our first game out at Waverley and beat the Swans out at Waverley in the first game. Had a reasonable game, solid, but without being you know, best on ground by any stretch.
Yeah.
But then my second game then was the Rodney Grinter situation. So yes. I played one match with the Bulldogs, and 5 minutes into my second ever game with the Bulldogs was when I got my face smashed in.
Yep.
And I think that's when Mick was convinced that I was there for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons, because the following week I played with 60 to 70 stitches internal.
You played the next week, did you?
Yeah, internal and external stitches with my whole jaw wired up because I'd fractured my mandible. So I had all my jaw wired and played the next week straight off the bat. And from that time onwards, I think me and Mick were...
And a fair bit of respect for that.
...were okay, sort of thing. So he knew I was there for the right reasons. And so I was coached by him for the 2 years.
And then, of course, you would have
coached... It was a good 2 years for me.
Two best affairs, mind you, weren't they?
So I played under him for 2 years and won two best affairs under Mick. So clearly he was able to get the best out of me, and I really enjoyed being coached by him. He had a bit of the background that I knew, which was the St Kilda Alan Jeans background. So a lot of his principles that he'd learnt along the way, obviously going via Richmond as well, where he would have picked up a heap as well. But a lot of his principles were based on what I had known from my Hawthorn days through Jeansy.
Yeah.
But with a young person's view on the game and a very challenging view on everything. And for me at that stage of my career, at 28... or whatever I was at that stage. I mean, he was an absolute breath of fresh air for me.
3:05 on halftime. We're playing him with Terry Wallace. And as Brett Ombeke says off the SMS, good point. And it's just somehow evolved to this point. When Ploughing In meets JYB, we're getting a bit of JYB action from Plough today. I didn't know half this stuff. What about that? Didn't have a club, retired at the start of 88. Get a phone call next week or the next day from the Western Bulldogs. Get your jaw broken game two. Play the next week. Or smashed to bits, in fact. Play the next week. And then went 2 BNFs under Mick in the next 2 years at the Witten Oval. That's a very interesting couple of years.
It was a strange... Well, it really was a strange couple of years, but it was really good how it came back together. And as I sort of said, I mean, the whole story is about Mick. I mean, it was Mick who gave me the opportunity and Mick who got the best out of what I had to give to the Bulldogs. So
you've tipped two of the boxes, Terry. You played on Mick. You were coached by Mick. And then, of course, you took on your own senior coaching career and you coached against Mick. I'm not sure there'd be too many others that have done that particularly in recent memory, played on, played under, and then coached against.
What's
it like to coach against? What's Mick like to coach against in the box?
Well,
is he trying to outthink you? Is he trying to anticipate your next move? Or does he just back his boys in and just react to your moves? What does he do?
Well, first up, coaching against him was like a mini war because... This was one of the clubs that he coached as well. I'm coaching the Western Bulldogs where he had, that's where he started. That's where his love was. And his teams up until that stage had dominated the competition, obviously over that period in the early 90s where they'd sort of won flags and all of a sudden we were coming, the Bulldogs were coming. So they were marginally on their way down and we were on our way up. So there was a fair clash. And if you think about back to that time, or if your listeners think about back to that time and some of the history, we had some fascinating games against them. I can remember Tony Liberatore going over to Perth and bashing up Benny Cousins one time, and they were not too enamoured with what happened over there with Ben Cousins at the time. We played in a roaring game where one time over there on a Friday night, we scored 8-1 or 8-0 in the first quarter. Then they scored 8-1 back the other way. They were ripping games. We played our last ever game at the Witten Oval against the West Coast Eagles.
Was that the Gardner game?
Yes, our boys went and attacked Michael Gardner. There was a lot of history in the games and there was a lot of angst between the two sides. And I would say there was a fair bit of angst between the two coaches at that stage as well, because there was something else that happened that Mick really didn't take too kindly to. Was we beat them over in WA one time, and the coaches' boxes at the Wacker were right up in up the bleachers. And I was coming down to go on to, or get down with about a minute to go, and that's where the Channel 7 people were. And Bruce McAvaney sort of said, oh, look, for your fans back at home, would you just chuck their headphones on and sort of say what a great win it has been? And so I did exactly that.
Yep.
Mick saw that as being as disrespectful as anything that could possibly happen in the game. The game's still going on, and here you are crowing for the result. I certainly didn't mean it that way. It was just one of those that was automatic, going right past where the booth was.
Yep.
They sort of said, you know, what message for your supporters back home? Well, at that stage, our supporters hadn't had much joy for a period of time. So I sort of thought, yeah, good connect between the footy team and your supporter base. So I did it, but Mick certainly didn't see it that way. So there was a lot of angst around that time. We played in a couple of finals against them. We knocked them out in a final, I think, in 98. And that was the day that they left John Worsfold out for what was going to be his final game, and they left him out of the team, and we knocked them over. And then Mick has announced one of his favourite five games was when in 1999, when it was a qualifying final, they got up and beat us at the MCG in a night that was one of the most horrific nights wind-wise that I've ever seen playing or coaching wise, and got up in just a real arm wrestle of a game and knocked us over, and he thought it was one of his best victories ever.
Yep.
Because it was, I think they'd only won one or two out of their last seven games. They were just falling apart, injuries and problems. We had beaten them about 3 weeks before. We'd beaten them by 10 goals the year before in a final to knock them out, and then they got up and beat us. Neither of us went on. I mean, it was like a war.
Yeah.
That war that night, we had a second chance, but had to go to Brisbane for our second chance. So it really, we needed to win the home game to keep home opportunities up to be any sort of chance of a premiership threat. And they were worn out. That was their one go at it. Got over the line for a monumental victory for them. So there was a fair bit in those early games, not so much when I was coaching Richmond and Collingwood, because we were sort of down the ladder a bit, and they were always a bit stronger than us most of the time then. But
did you try and throw in with that sort of stuff? You mentioned Libber and Michael Garden situation. People are telling us about Danny Southern's chokehold on Swimmer, of course,
which was when I was assistant coach. So that was just prior to to taking over. Yep.
Did you try and throw him to see if he could with that sort of stuff, and because you knew he'd fire up and you'd might be able to rattle him in the coach's box? Was that a tactic?
The tactic was that the West Coast Eagles had bullied every side in the competition for so long that it was time to give them a bit back.
Yep.
And that was more the tactic. I can remember going over to WA, and it was around that same sort of time as the Sumich, Danny Southern situation, where Scotty West was a young player coming through the ranks, and I can remember him almost in tears at the end of one of the games, and people sort of didn't understand why. And he's taken his jumper off, and he just had purple, blue, and red welts all over his body from just every West Coast Eagles bloke just horse bites, pinching every single time they went past him to get a young kid off his game. And he was just fully covered. His whole body was just black, purple, and blue. And there was a lot of that had gone on over a period of time. And we just had basically said enough's enough. And when we were coming, that we had to sort of show the big boys on the block that we weren't going to take it anymore.
Fascinating. This is great, JYB, for playing in this afternoon. I'm very, very pleased about this. This is good. Righto. So there's the trifecta. If you can find someone else that's gone through that, that's played on somebody, been coached by them, and then coached against them, let us know. 9429 1116.
A lot of people got two out of the three. I mean, Lee Matthews was coached by Alan Jeans and then coached against Alan Jeans. I would say Bucks and Hurdy played on each other.
Played each other
and
coached against
obviously
each other.
Coached against each other, but it's difficult to get the third one into the mix.
Sheed's done everything, so
that would be interesting.
Longevity is the key to this debate, isn't it? Let us know. And who's your favourite coach of all time? There's a bit of love for Mick this week, and rightly so after his record and even the way he deals with his players and the love that he has for his players. That's one of the things that's always come through, that if you're with him, he's with you, and he'll give you everything he's got, and he'll.
I found him
really loyal.
100% that way. Very open to having you come into his family home, and we've still got a connection. Our two wives are still very, very good friends, you know, right back from those days. He was at my wedding. So, yeah, he was very open to allowing you into his family environment and always wanted to know about who you were and what your family environment and what you're about as a person.
Who's your favourite coach of all time? Let's get on to that after the break. 27-4, 9-4-2-9, 11-16. It's a big week for Mick Malthouse. He's been duly acknowledged and recognised for his time in the game, his impact on a lot of clubs and players through that journey. 715 games coming up tomorrow night, where, of course, we will be live on Melbourne's home of footy. 11-16 SEN for Carlton and Collingwood to kick off round 5 of the AFL. If you can get one of those other players out of trifecta, or coaches out of trifecta, let us know. I'm keen to...
Shoes and Mickey Malthouse. We've got one here.
No, they played together.
So, yeah, but so they've got three, but not the same three. So Sheedy played against Mick at St Kilda, played together at Richmond, and then coached against each other.
Okay, but a different three.
Was never coached.
Never coached by. We're throwing some curveballs out to the SEN audience today for the coaching trifecta. The played on, coached by, and then coached against.
We think we've got a couple.
We reckon we might have got a couple, though, off the
SMS. Thanks to our listeners. They always help us out here, don't they?
They might have it off the open line, too. We'll go to them first. 9429 1116. Graham in Geelong. This isn't Graham Polly Farmer of Geelong fame, is it?
Yeah, it's actually, it's Ray, but never mind. Polly Farmer. I'll go with it.
Ray Farmer?
seeing I'm married for the Bloods, I don't want to be Polly Farmer.
Right, okay. Well, that's right.
But I'll take, I was just thinking about Paul Roos. I reckon he might have a few up his sleeve.
In what way?
In what way, yeah. Talk to me.
Well, would he have Jimmy Hurd?
Well, what? The fact that they had...
played against them and then coached against them?
Yeah.
That's only two of the three.
The three.
We're looking for the...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So neither was coached. Neither was coached by the other. But stick with it because, Ray, we think we might have
Paul
Roos. Roos in a trifecta. If you think about Rodney Eden, Paul Roos, how do you go there?
Sounds like a reasonable request to me.
Well, certainly they would have played...
They would have crossed paths.
Yeah, they would have played on the same field together, whether they actually ever played on each other. Roos, he played some footy on a wing, obviously, where Rocket played in his early days.
That's true.
Certainly Rodney coached him, and now they're coaching against each other. So there's one.
Yep, that's Roos and Rocket is a beauty. Thank you, Ray, /Graham/Polly. Ron's in Ferntree Galley. Hello, Ron.
Yeah, talking about your favourite coaches, I loved Neil Danaher when he came to Melbourne at the end of 97. We only won 4 games in 97, and in 98 we actually won 2 finals and finished 4th. Knocked off the Premiers Adelaide in the final by 8 goals and knocked off St Kilda and then lost to the Kangaroos in the prelim. But he was just great. That period between 98 and 2006 or 2007, I'm pretty sure we played in more finals in that period than any other time other than the 50s.
Yeah, I think you're right, Ron. There was a few little blips along the way. Ups
every second year.
Every second year, they're getting up there. Obviously, the 2000 grand final. Tell me, nearly every nickname that we know that's come out of the game has come out of the game either through something that's happened in a guy's career beforehand, and they've just that's come on. So the nickname's been there, and he's brought that into the club.
Like Buddy.
And it's continued on.
Yep.
Or the nickname has come... from footy, mine, Plough, come from football. How many nicknames do you know that have come from coaching?
Not many, couple.
The Reverend
Neil Danaher.
Yep.
And the Bible, Dean Laidley. Hard to read the Bible.
So that's, but there's not many, is there? I mean,
no,
and that's why I've got a lot of love for the Rev. I mean, I just thought he was fantastic, and not very often that your supporter base get so much behind you that you get a nickname from being a coach.
He's coming through thick and fast off the SMS as one of the favourite coaches.
A lot
of
love
time.
For him.
Yeah, heaps of love for the Rev, and we send him our best too. The Rev, who's doing a bit tough at the minute.
Yeah, caught up with him at a lunch only a couple of weeks ago, and he's in good spirits.
Oh, good. Good to hear. Thank you, Ron, for your call. In fact, starting the line, the Elmore Oil Pack coming your way, Ron. That's a good nomination. The Reverend's getting plenty of love. Neil Danaher. Paul's in Glenroy. G'day, Paul.
G'day, Terry Hart. I've got one for you, Terry. Malcolm Blight played with Barry Cable.
Yep.
Captain coached Barry Cable. Then Malcolm Blight was coached by Barry Cable, if that makes sense.
Is that the same?
Tell me I'm right or wrong.
Is that the same? Right. Does that work, Terry?
Played Barry Cable.
Yep.
Yes.
Then Malcolm Blight, captain coached Barry Cable.
Yes.
Then then he was sacked and taken. Barry Cable was taken over as coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did they coach against each other?
And Malcolm Blight. Malcolm Blight came back and played.
Yeah, they didn't coach against each other.
Different triple.
Yeah,
it's certainly a triple.
Certainly a triple. They didn't coach against each other. And the other one is, I think they would have played against each other as well, whether that was in state of origin or any of that, likely that they would have crossed paths there as well.
A different triple, but certainly a triple. Paul, thank you for your call.
Good thinking, Paul.
Like that. David in Point Cook. G'day, David. No, he's not there, David. David's not there, but off the SMS there. They're coming through thick and fast. I'm trying to just work through them as they come through. A lot of them are wrong. But Gary's in Melton. He's got one for us, he reckons. G'day, Gaz.
Boys, look, I've got the exact three, I reckon. Tim Watson and Kevin Sheedy.
I think you're on to something here.
Right
now,
there.
Far away.
They would have played against each other in the late 70s.
Yeah, well, I think it's right that Tim started in 1977, correct?
Yeah.
Sheeds, when did Sheeds finish?
79.
Football.
79.
So you're right. They crossed by 2 years.
Then Kevin Sheedy obviously coached him.
Yep.
And then Tim Watson coached St Kilda against Essendon.
Well done.
I reckon.
Well done.
That's right, Tim Watson and Sheeds.
Longevity's the whole thing here, isn't it?
You've got to survive, don't you? You've got to survive. Thank you, Gaz. Yes, that's a good nomination. A couple of other ones coming through. Tony Shaw, Lee Matthews.
I think that's spot on. And again, longevity. Both of them 300-game players.
Yep.
And I suppose when you have a look at it, they would have crossed paths definitely at some stage over that period in the early 80s.
Did Lee go straight to Brisbane from Collingwood? I can't recall. I think
he had a year or two. No, he had a year or two out.
Yeah, we'll confirm that. But, yes, that's in the running. What about this one?
He certainly was coaching. Because remember Shorey's last game when they broadcast his speech from Victoria Park?
At Victoria Park.
Yeah, out to the masses.
Yep.
Well, that was against Brisbane. They were beaten in that game by Brisbane, and Lee would have been coaching Brisbane at that stage.
Right, I'm going to confirm that. What about this one off the SMS?
I would have thought.
Lee Matthews, Mark Williams. Would that work? Because he was coached by, would have played against perhaps?
He could have. I certainly played.
Coached against.
Yes. I certainly, nearly every time we played Collingwood, I played on Mark, but they would have definitely crossed paths at some stage on the field.
Was he at Brisbane before that? When Lee was coaching the Magpies? Oh, he would have been there 86, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that one works.
That works.
That works. Mark Williams.
That works.
I like this game.
This is good.
I like this game. KB and Chicken Smallhorn.
How good have our listeners been today?
They are red hot. They are red hot, the listeners. They love this sort of stuff. Give them some trivia they can get their teeth around. And they love it. Mark Thompson, Brenton Sanderson late.
We got Peter from Brighton also saying Malcolm Blight never coached Barry Cable.
No.
Yeah. But Barry Cable coached Malcolm Blight.
Different three. Brenton Sanderson didn't play with Mark Thompson, did he?
No.
No, so he doesn't qualify. Sorry for the SMS, but that's a good game. I like that. We'll continue on after this. Coming through thick and fast. You've opened a can of worms this afternoon, ploughing with Terry Wallace for the trifecta. Terry mentioned it earlier about his relationship with Mick Malthouse through the years. He played on Mick. He was coached by Mick and coached against him at the AFL level, of course. We're trying to work out any other combinations that may have done that through the time.
You know, I think Tim's got one here, hasn't he? KB and Moses.
Kevin wouldn't appreciate that. I won't have that sort of slander of my great man, Kevin. Speaking of Kevin, Kevin's in Croydon. He's got a quaddy, he reckons. Hello, Kev.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Robert Walls and Bernie Quinlan would have played against each other in their Carlton and Footscray days.
Yep.
Then they played with each other in their Fitzroy days. Then Robert Walls coached Bernie Quinlan when he was at Fitzroy. And then when Bernie would have coached Fitzroy in the early 90s, he would have coached again against Robert Walls. Probably he was either at Richmond or Brisbane.
I think you're on to something
there.
That
sounds good to me.
I think you're on to something there. We're going to have to check up the dates and see the crossovers. Whoa. But that sounds spot on, Kevin. Spot on.
If that's, in fact, right, I'm going to get the R&D department to research that, and I'm going to find a prize. I'm out of prizes today, but I'm going to find a prize and give that to Kevin.
It's been a long time since I've got the quaddy.
It's correct. Yes, they've R&D'd it for me already. Kevin, stay on the
line.
Well done,
Kevin.
My man, Christos, will get you a prize. He'll tap into your call very shortly and get you a prize. That's a terrific result. George in Perth, it's going to be hard to get a prize to all the way over there. But he might have a quaddie too. G'day, George.
Hello, Ralph. How are you, mate?
Good, pal.
That's good. Glad I'm over here in Perth. I just heard that traffic report.
Well played.
Mate, I got a bit of a trifecta for you. I was lucky enough to play with Mick at St Kilda. I played against him when he went to Richmond. He belted me about 48,000 times. And then 20 years later, I was lucky enough to be in his match committee at the West Coast Eagles. So not a bad trifecta there of Malthouses.
George, I'm going to need some more feedback on your surname, please.
Oh, no, mate. I keep that a mystery, mate.
Giving me nothing, George. So what did you do? You played against him?
Yeah, played with him. Played with him. 73. Then he went to Richmond. Played against him then while I was at St Kilda. And then, as I said, it was fortunate enough, a good mate of mine. So he got me onto the match committee for 10 years with him over in over here in Perth.
So coached with, played against, and played with. That's a good little trifecta. Well done, George. I'm going to find out who you are one day. Thank you for your call. Good stuff all the way over there in Perth, listening at sen.com.au. That's a good relationship with Mick, whoever that is. I'm going to find out who George is. If you know, SMS me, 0433981116. Michael's on the road. G'day, Mick.
So, good afternoon, esteemed football analysts. my trifecta is Mark Harvey. Played with Bomber Thompson at the Bombers. Coached Freo against Mark at Geelong. And was in the box last year at Essendon in that 1 year.
But didn't play against him, did he?
Beg your pardon?
Didn't play against him?
Oh, against him?
Yeah, so they never they never played on each other.
Except for inter-clubs, but that doesn't count. No, that's where we find the block there, Michael, but thank you for getting involved. Great combo. Steve in Mill Park. Hello, Steve.
Daniel, or Terry, what about Percy Jones and Jezza?
Percy Jones and Jezza. Help me
Jezza
out, Terry.
Jezza would have coached Percy as a captain coach.
Yeah.
Right.
And then when Jezza went to St Kilda, wouldn't have Percy been, they would have coached against one another?
Yeah.
And played against one another because Jezza was captain coach at St Kilda.
Coached by?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, that works?
Yeah, I think that works.
All right, this is good stuff. We are going down, we're opening up football history here on Ploughing In this afternoon. It's nice to be able to do that.
Stan Elves.
And?
Ron Barassi.
That seems to make sense.
Well, certainly when Barass went to Carlton.
Coached by, yes.
So they would have played against each other.
Yes.
Coached by when the 10-year rule, when Stan went across to North Melbourne. Coach against each other.
Yeah, when 94-95, when Brass was at Sydney.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a winner. Terrific stuff. George Young, they reckon it might have been.
Yeah, Georgie Young. He was a star.
Oh, George. That's terrific to have you listening. Welcome.
Georgie was a star.